Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speakers are Father Xavier Lavaggetto, pastor and director of the Catholic community, and Chaplain Teresa Plans. It is the fifth Sunday in Lent, and the readings are from Cycle B.
This innocuous gospel is actually the turning point in the entirety of John's work. The hour of surprising glory has come. For many, the turning point in our personal lives is sadly some tragedy, sadness, or tear that finally pierces our heart's shell. But there's another kind when joy breaks through. I can't count the number of times as a Christian brother when I was teaching in downtown L.A., I was driven to the chapel out of joy. I was in the ringside seat, as it were, watching God touching students' hearts. It might have been a student who finally discovered they really did want to go to college. Or when dark self-doubt was replaced by trust in the love of friends, classmates, family, and yes, even God. Or when passion, meaning, and purpose awakened inside them. And it was wonderful. It was nothing that I had taught or counseled. God touched them. And for a moment I was on holy ground, watching in wonder. Sure, breaking out of their shell entailed real struggle and suffering. There's always suffering in this world. But either you make it a moment of grace or you make it a moment of imprisonment. God touching hearts. But once you see that they were beginning to see, I want to see Jesus, that kind of scene, you knew the adventure of their life was on its way and it was beautiful. So I was driven to the chapel by joy. Jesus was driven to the cross by the hope of joy. You see, God was touching God-fearing Greek hearts. This was a moment of change in the ministry. Everything in John's gospel took place in Judea, but here Greeks were coming. And they went to Philip, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." And this is more than seeing with the eyes, but with the heart. That Jewish sight of real thinking, of wisdom, of coming alive. It was that open-hearted curiosity that is the very, very first step toward faith and discipleship. Do we say with those Gentiles, "Sir, I would like to see Jesus"? Or have we lost too often in distraction? This moment was special to Jesus. Why? Because he knew now was the time when his mission was over and now the passion was going to begin and to embrace the suffering. But more important, God is not interested in suffering as suffering, but in the love that is so willing to embrace it. Have you ever wondered what drove Jesus to the cross? Joy's search for you. But we can live chosen lives of distraction that leave too many hearts closed. So the three habits of the heart, I keep on mentioning them because I want it to sink in water deep, that truly make for a truly alive life. Jesus lived them, he lived them, and so did these Greeks. Don't be so busy achieving that you miss living. Too many marriages end on those rocks. As I said once before, my sainted civics high school teacher told me, when you run in a rat race, win or lose, you're still a rat. Sure, you might be a Stanford rat, but rat nonetheless. There's so much more. Happiness only begins in the present. Learning only begins in the present. Coming alive only happens in the present. And so the first habit of heart is attentiveness. Are you present to the moment? Are you present to the people in your lives? The Greek said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." It would have been so easy for them to pass Jesus by if they hadn't made the time to notice him. Two. The second habit is the spirit of wonder. Take delight, take delight. Look for amazement. The Greek said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." It would have been so easy to pass Jesus by if they hadn't stopped and then also began to savor what they began to hear and see about Jesus, that they had to meet him. They had to meet him. They had a heart's habit to savor what was true, beautiful, and good, wherever it may come from. And finally, the third habit is thankfulness. No gift is really received without a spirit of gratitude. We've been graced by so much, yet without gratitude, we never give back. We never become a gift. We never engage, and we stay half alive. The Greek said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." It would have been easy to pass Jesus by if they didn't have the habit enough to want to engage with Jesus, to see Jesus, to engage with him and be connected. Three habits: attentiveness, wonderment, and thankfulness. Now here is Teresa to take a look at that other side of the coin, the harder side, which I gladly gave to her.
The scripture says, with loud cries and tears, in its description of Jesus, and it asks us to listen to that. With loud cries and with tears, Jesus, God's Son, our Savior, is crying. He cries over the plight of his city, Jerusalem, and he cries over his friend Lazarus' death. And he cries out in fear. Not yet for the soldiers who will bind him fast. Not yet for the betrayer marking him with the kiss of death, or the officials who wash their hands of his blood, or the complete abandonment of all of those he counted most dear to him. Because Jesus' public passion is not yet upon him, although it is drawing very near. In today's readings, we are given a glimpse of his private passion, his intimate, frightened prayer, pleading for a different outcome, where he rehears the old temptations in the desert to escape into self-importance. Turn those stones into bread. Turn the sacrifice into rebellion. Be a different kind of Messiah. Tantalizingly held out, just close enough, just clear enough, so that there might be a different outcome. So out of his anguish, he cries, "The hour has come, and my soul is troubled. And what should I say? What should I say? And that question of what should I say hangs for only the briefest of moments before he responds with his yes. And tips the balance of our salvation towards the Father's will. And then we are saved. We are saved for all eternity. But how are we saved today? On March 18th, 2018. How are we saved today? What happens when our dark hours come and our souls are troubled? What happens when the temptations bombard us, sometimes disguised as things that make very good sense? What happens when that question arises, perhaps unbidden? The same question that came to Jesus. And what should I say? Two examples might illustrate the spinning out of this question. The night before Ash Wednesday, very late, I was here. And I had taken all of our palms, and I was going to burn them for ashes for the next day and set up the altar. And I did set up the altar, got all the bowls out, put them below the angel, and then went looking for the bowl to burn the ashes in. And since it is a shared space, and things often walk away, I could not find the bowl. And I thought, well, I'm really in trouble because we have to have ashes, and I have nothing to burn them in. So I went looking and looking and finally found it in a plastic bin with a basket over the top of it. So I went outside grumbling a bit. I'm always a little nervous because the flames are about 3 feet high, and the smell of the burning palms is akin to a substance that just recently has been allowed in the state of California. So I'm thinking every year that someone, surely from security, will come by and ask me what I'm doing. And they never have yet. But someone did this year. As I started to burn those palms, my soul was troubled. We lost our founding pastor here right around Christmas time this year, Father Patrick LaBelle. And losing him, for me, was like losing my dad. And whenever I do anything related to church, it's hard. I remember him. So I was troubled. And someone came along that I thought for sure was security, and it was a student. And he asked me what I was doing. I told him. He said, well, can I sit with you for a while? I said, sure. And we got to talking, and I asked him what he was studying and what he was interested in. And he said, oh, I like writing. And I was very glad he hadn't said quantum physics, because writing I can get. I'm in awe of quantum physics. I said, what are you writing about? I'm writing about death. Okay, it's Ash Wednesday. It's 1:30 in the morning. He's writing about death. And he said, I'm writing about death as children perceive death. Ah, that's interesting. So we talked for a while. He had different interesting things that he had observed. And then I said, what is your experience of death? And he paused and he said, my mom died 7 years, 6 months, and 2 days ago. And I thought, He's not over his mom's death, if he marks it that closely. Who would be over your mother's death when she died at 12, when he was 12? And I thought from that experience that that question of my despair was answered. It was answered by that student that came along right then, whom I would not have met if the bowl had been found earlier. And God has a funny way of sending angels to us at unexpected times. He blessed me, and I blessed him, and we went on our ways. And my faith was restored. Second example. A call came in amidst many calls from a woman who was in absolute anguish. Her life had not been easy. She was raising her daughter as a single parent. They had very little money, and the daughter had become addicted to drugs. Come out of that somewhat, and was now pregnant. She wanted an abortion. And the mother was in absolute agony over this decision. Called all the way through the week. Daughter going to have the abortion. Dead set against anything else. Will not talk to anyone else. At the very end, she went to talk to a priest. She hadn't been in church, probably her whole life. But I guess it's what you do in these situations. You go talk to a priest. 2 days later, the text came. She took the abortion pills, and she flushed them down the toilet. And that's how that answer of what do we say is answered again. The question comes in our lives in very, very many different ways, but come it will. And the question gets answered, and our faith is salvaged for yet one more day. And sometimes life is rescued from death. And salvation is won again and again and again. God loved the Son, whose tears he turned into glory. But he loves us no less. And he has etched deeply upon our hearts that covenant, that promise of unconditional and tender love. That's how we go on into Holy Week, into finals, into the rest of our lives. And when that reckoning question comes, the question, what shall I say? We'll have an answer. The answer is simply that we are saved. We are saved for today, and we are saved for all eternity.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.